Blog Talk Radio.
Tuning in today. You're listening to Victory Against All Odds on blogtalkradio.com. I am your host, Evangelist Benton. Today is September the 12th, 2011. It is 12:35. Again, thank you for tuning in. Please call your friend, your family, and let them know I'm on the air. Let's get started. Let's talk. The chat room is open for questions and comments, etc. My email address is odds, O-D-D-S, against, A-G-A-I-N-S-T, _U. Again, that's odds, @yahoo.com. Today, we want to continue our series discussion on sexual abuse. Last week, we talked to the survivor, and we talked about how to take control. And the week before that, we talked about what sexual abuse is. So now we want to continue our series on taking control of sexual abuse, and we want to continue on that particular subject. We're just going to go a little bit deeper. If you want to listen to the previous message on taking control, the first part, you may please do so. You can go back to the archives and listen to the message that is dated August the 29th on the first steps in taking control. So moving on from a victim to a survivor, we are going to continue as we continue building on this bridge. We spoke about the first three steps of taking control. So just to kind of give you a brief review as we move on, we talked about the resources from within yourself. We also talked about resources in your environment. And we also talked about how to evaluate your resources. So today we're going to continue as we talked about. First, we're going to talk about number four. Number four is going to be, we're going to talk about expressing your anger in a positive way. You're asking how do you express your anger in a positive way? We can talk about that. Expressing anger is just one way of how we direct our blame towards another person who has hurt us or did us wrong, such as rape or a rapist. So rather than turning that anger inwardly or against ourselves, we're going to do this in a positive way, because we tend to fear anger, but if you think about it, anger is, it has its place as well in our lives. Anger serves a purpose. In this case, we're going to be acknowledging what your anger is, and it's crucial in recovery. So we know that, because when you're abused sexually, anger is inevitable. It's going to happen. So we're going to turn this what would be negative into a positive. So I am building you a tool that you already have, and we're going to turn it around so that that thing that meant for our harm will become good. So we're going to talk about that. Overall, some have a difficult time expressing anger in a constructive fashion. And when we say that, we're talking about being out of control or turning that anger inwardly. So moving along, we need to express our anger in a way that is healthy and constructive for healing. Such way would be to speak to our friends and our family, and if you have to, speak to your dog or your cat, as long as you get it out. The goal here is to get that anger out. We are not going to hold anger, because as you know, that could be destructive in all kinds of ways, including our bodies. Another positive method of dealing with anger is to get involved in the legal process. And I see I have some hands raised. If you give me just a minute, I will get to you, I promise. You can report the crime to the police. You can remain anonymous while doing this if you are fearful. Another way of dealing with anger, in another method and doing this in a positive way, is to complete the investigative reports and provide the information to be used in processing as evidence against the rapist. And that's basically just giving them evidence, whatever evidence that you have that can be used in processing or prosecuting this person. Another way we can do this is you can warn your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, around the school system, around your job, print flyers or email so that other people may be cautious of their surroundings. Recently, I had my purse stolen, And one of the things I did was I called my job and let them know what happened, because it happened on my job or in the parking lot of my job. And then that person, my supervisor, went and notified other faculty members, other people, letting them know that, you know, someone is, you know, stealing purses. You can do the same. Take the same method. Let people know that something has happened, so that other people are kind of surrounded by their aware of their surroundings. I'm sorry. Another positive method of dealing with anger, which is a little different, but it works. It worked for me. Is fantasizing or rewriting your story. Keep a journal, and we talked about this about 2 weeks ago. We talked about keeping a journal. When you keep a journal, you talk about your feeling. Talk about how you're feeling about this thing. So in addition to writing your story, writing it down, you're writing the feelings down. The feelings are the most powerful thing that you have, so write about those feelings. This helps disarm the negative emotions that you're feeling, and it also releases them as well, and it shows how much you are recovering over time. If you keep a journal, and I'm going to slow down right here, and you begin to write, you then begin to see the recovery process that you are making over time, because your feelings will begin to change. They'll begin to, you'll see the growth in how you're feeling as you write over time. If you're having nightmares or dreams about the event, write it down. Details of what you dreamed about and how you were feeling over time. Again, eventually you will see some progress, because what happens is those feelings begin to decrease. They begin to die down. It won't be so angry. You're diffusing all of that. Another positive method in expressing your anger would be to get out, play a sport, get active, play ball, play tennis, play volleyball, ride your bike, go bowling, or it can be something as simple as walking. But by doing this, you give yourself energy and you release those endorphins that help you feel better. You're releasing those endorphins that bring your heart rate down or up, and you begin to feel better. Another way you can positively fight this thing called anger is to talk to a friend. This helps you in the healing process, and it helps you to accept exactly what has happened to you, and this can also move you to the next stage. Now, here is my only flag here. Be careful who you select to give this information to. In other words, be careful who you share your information with. You're going to have to discern who you need to talk to. If you're getting to the point where you don't know who to talk to, talk to a counselor. Talk to someone who can help you, build you up, make you feel important. You know, validate your feelings. Because this isn't your feelings. This happened to you. This is personal. You may have to change your routine. You may have to change your school. This means the possibility of taking some time off, a semester or two, especially if this assault happened to you on campus or even by another student. This is something to think about. And saying that, let me just switch gears here just a little bit, because if your situation is ongoing, such as we're talking about sexual abuse, So we're talking about all the categories. We're talking about stranger date rape. We're talking about we're talking about acquaintance rape. We're talking about molestation. So when we talk about molestation, we're talking about a family or a friend of the family or some close relative, really. So then we're going to have to put a spin on this. So having going down this avenue, you may need to change your residence. If your abuser is in the home, such as myself, you're going to have to just get out. And I know you're thinking, well, where in the world am I supposed to go? If I just get up and get out, suppose you're underage. You don't have a place to go? Call somebody, shelter, a friend. You need to have a plan of escape. We talked about this earlier. You need to have a plan of escape. We got to go back to the beginning. Either you call a shelter, you call a friend, or you call the police, but you need to get out of the situation, out of the environment. So this means you're going to have to change your residence. I'm going to pause right there, and I'm going to take my first flag. I just want someone who has an input, or if you have a comment or a question, let me see. I have a hand raised. Let's go to the line. Good afternoon, caller 7437. How are you today?
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful.
Great. Yes, I do have just a small comment. We're thankful that you are bringing an awareness about sexual abuse and molestation and dealing with the various strategies for life. I'm glad to say today, as a leader in the community and a minister of the gospel, that I too have overcome those dark tides, and only God was able to lead me to that place. And you're so right. I want to just piggyback on something that you said. You said that one of the positive ways, you mentioned just a lot of wonderful tools, but positive ways to keep a journal. And at the time of my going through molested as a child, I kept a journal. And then even in my teen years, I did. And those are powerful twos. And then sometimes I think that because when this approach is implemented and you use it to stay positive and overcome those dark times, you would hope and think that if the, in my case, it was in the home. So,
yeah.
You want people to at least deal with what they've done and admit with what they've done. And then if there's denial, of course, then that adds more fuel to the fire. And then in your limited way, there's denial, that means that your need for help and your position to go to the next level is being hampered, because there's nobody that wants to look in that direction.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
When you make that awareness known within the home, and then when you start to have a journal where you write out how you're feeling and how you're dealing with how you're feeling, if that is discovered by the same people or the person that is in denial, then that's more denial. So that puts you further down the chain, if you will, of getting the help that you're crying out. What I do find interesting, and I can say this as a minister of the gospel and a church leader, is that oftentimes we will go, because our family went to church,
And I was a member of various departments within the church as a young lady, and I sang in the choir and so forth. And even though Sunday after Sunday we went to church and there were bruises on our arms and whips on our legs, people just looked the other way.
Yeah.
There was no there was no question, or people just don't want to get involved. And I think oftentimes the sad mistake that we make in the family, out of the family, in the community, and within the body of Christ is us looking the other way. And
yeah.
I am persuaded, Evangelist Benton, that a lot of that denial has escalated and snowballed to the society, and the crime and the violence that we're experiencing now is because we look the other way. Had
yeah.
we addressed some of those problems, many of those people today that are adults are still going around that mountain of madness, of violence, looking for a way to say, you know, I need help, but now they're no longer children, they're adults. And so I think we, not only the person that becomes the victim at the time that is victimized in whatever capacity that they encounter, but you, when you look the other way, then you set yourself up to experience some of the backlash from the denial when you look the other way, whether you're a family member or a member of the community. I just think this is so discomforting.
Yeah.
People will say to you, it's a family thing and it's none of my business. I believe that we are responsible for whatever truth that's presented our way, whether it's our business or someone else's business. I believe that when God makes that truth available to us, we are responsible for the truth, if you will, whether it's in the form of someone telling or seeing evidence. That
yes.
is God's way of saying, I'm going to hold you accountable, either whether you pray or whether you help the person get some direction. But I could go on with how God brought me out and how deliverance came. But I do want to reiterate that I think that's something that still needs to be emphasized
yeah.
within the system that provides the help and in our community, especially in the body of Christ, especially in the church.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree. And I've said that in some of the earlier broadcasts, that this is not the time for you to be silent, and this is not time for the community and people to look the other way, that we have got
mm-hmm.
to uncover that dark secret. You know, we have got to start talking. We have got to start
Absolutely.
Speaking up, you know,
mm-hmm.
because this not only impacts, like you said, the life of the person, but the perpetrator and those that are around who are keeping this dark secret, who are looking the other way, you know, because how can you live with yourself knowing that someone that you saw evidence or someone spoke to you or you saw for yourself that, you know, someone is being molested or abused sexually or, you know, or any other type of abuse and you look the other way? I don't understand how you can live with yourself. What kind of a conscience do you have, you know? But it is. I feel like that's what my mission is. My mission is to uncover some of this and to expose it, and you know, to give people, empower them to know that you know, speak loud. I mean, even if the person, you know, is looking the other way, you know, you taking care of yourself, you know, write it out. Because the same thing happened to me. I was writing. They found out I was writing, and like you said, it just made it even worse. So I took it to the next level. I start writing in code. So even if you found my journal, you had no idea what that journal said because I was writing in my own language. I created my own secret code, so you could not decipher what was being said. So they mm-hmm. tore the pages out. They were so angry. And, of course, like you said, you know, you're locked down even the more because they don't want
mm-hmm.
that secret be exposed, you know,
mm-hmm.
but I'm crying loud now, you know, no more keeping
mm-hmm.
secrets, no more,
mm-hmm.
you know, turning my head the other way, you know, like someone did me. I'm going to expose this and allow people to figure out what it is that they can do, because that information was not afforded to me. So now I'm going to give other people the opportunities. Oh, okay, well, this didn't work. Well, let me try something else, but not to keep it secret, because that is just devastating, you know, and that's just a, you know, that's just a snowball effect.
Indeed it is. I will go even further and say not only myself and some of my brothers and sisters, but then my mother suffered at the hands of my father's abuse. So her not standing, and I guess she may probably felt helpless, but there were people in the community. You know, and that was many years ago, and there were people in the community, and they knew about the tirades. They knew about the physical abuse and the verbal abuse. They knew about the broken jaws and the bruises upside the head. And I'll tell you what is so interesting today, again, these same people, some of them are dead and some of them are alive, but, you know, today when you run the risk of just silently sitting on the steps of life and you see this kind of thing and you know this kind of thing is going on in the homes of people that you work with, you go to church with, you could not afford to do that. And even now you can't, because you can quietly sit on your perfect world and your perfect life and say, well, that's husband and wife, and I don't really want to get involved. And the same man that has abused his wife at home, and she comes to the office to work, he's subject to follow her to the office and just allow that passion of out-of-controlness killing a foot people. So I think at this point in the juncture, we've gone long enough in that we've kept this pot, the lid on this boiling kettle, if you will, and now the water is hot and the song is spewing out into our societies. And, you know, I don't think that we, somebody said, well, I don't want to get involved because it's a husband and wife thing, and I don't think that's my place. But when you work with a person, if I'm on the job with someone and the lady comes to me and she's got a black eye and she's got bruises, certainly I'm not going to tell myself, if I've had some kind of casual conversation with her and she says that her husband shoves her or pushes her, and just say I don't want to get involved, because he may decide to bring that anger to the next level and come to the place of employment and pursue her and pursue me and other innocent people. So you have that that chain effect of events, that snowball effect, if you will, unraveling on innocent people. So that's really something that we cannot ignore, whether the person is a person. You know, sometimes people will say, well, that's Mr. So-and-so. He has a lot of money, or, you know, he has political status. I believe that, and we've called it violence, and yes, it is violence, but it's oppression. Oppression knows no social economic status or color or gender or tribe, if you will, or position in the community. This thing is something that goes through the different walks of life, through the different types of people. It supersedes racial boundaries, if you will, and whether the person is rich or poor, whether the person is educated or uneducated. And I am persuaded that this is one thing that as a community, being our brother's keeper, we owe it to ourselves and we owe it to the person.
Yes, that's right. That is absolutely right. That is absolutely right.
So I'm thankful, you know, that you've taken this platform to bring this awareness, and, you know, you and Oprah Winfrey and different ones have elected to just stand on the front line and say, okay, this is something we can deal with. It affects us, it affects families, it affects individuals. So for that, I'm grateful. I'm sure that there are others that want to get on the line and share their views and their experiences, and I'm just grateful for your stand And we're appreciative to you for your sounding the alarm. We really are. And we know that in the days to come that many will come and hold up your hand and give and support your cause, victory against all odds in making the difference. Truly, we're just thankful for you, and I thank you for just letting me just share my light testimony and how thankful and grateful we are that you are bringing an awareness. And not only that, you're telling the people how there is a way out, and for that we're thankful and we love you. Evangelist Benton, you're doing a wonderful job. Continue to do that, and you will find that there now people are in a position where they will help and they will support.
Amen. Thank you so much for calling. Mm-hmm. I thank you for your words of encouragement. I have mm-hmm. another hand raised, and I'm gonna let them have some space as I begin to close down. I thank you so much. I really do. I thank you so much for your words and your testimony and your words of encouragement. Good afternoon, 1559. How are you this day?
I'm blessed. This is Dr. Dew.
Hi, how are you?
I'm blessed, sister. I'm so glad that I could get with you. We've been traveling, and this yesterday, you know, we minister so many times, and I was just recuperating this morning, and I saw your email while I'm sitting there praying, still praying, and I said, oh, my Lord, let me get up. I promised the sister to be on. But that last lady that was just on, God for her testimony. I hope she's still listening. That's why I wrote my books. That's why this new book that's now available on EPUB, Teddy Bear Stolen Innocence, is, and you said part of it, sister. I love it, Evangelist. You said to expose, uncover, and reveal the truth and get people talking. And the body of Christ have believed the lie. The people in the church have believed the lies from their pastors for the last 2,000 years when Paul said, don't let it be mentioned among you. And so they have, yes, turned the head. They've acted like it wasn't happened. Folks coming in with broken arms, faces all battered up, black eyes, kids right in the church, just like my father was having sex with me, all this stuff, and turn the other way. That has to cease and desist. We are here. It's a revolution. It's an epidemic that's going on in the body of Christ and in the world. It's not just so folks don't want to just say, oh, it's just in the world. No. All that filth and perversion, the down low, the up low, the whatever kind of low, it's in the church.
Yes, it is.
And it needs to cease and desist. And these preachers that have these men that are having sex with these boys and talking about I'm your daddy and just call me daddy and all that, they need to go somewhere and sit down. They need to be put out of these churches. And these people in America that are letting these pastors still do this, and they say, well, our pastor didn't do it, supporting it, they need to stop it. They know that this stuff is going on. When the homosexuals are saying, we saw him up in the, he brought his Rolls Royce, he brought his Bentley right up to the door and came on into the gay club, then gets up in the church and acts like he's a homophobic. They need to stop it, all of them.
I agree.
I believe God to expose, uncover, and reveal and cause a bunch of these folks to be driven out of their churches and stop blocking people from receiving the power. When you go into church, you ought to see the power of God at work, God's love at work, not the foolishness talking about money, 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 so they can buy Bentleys and Rolls Royces and mansions. Nothing wrong with that, but they're not doing it the right way. Sister, I'm so glad you're on. And a Monday morning to get the week started, get my juices flowing, because I'll be on, as you know. I appreciate your support being with us on our programs on prayer, and then Wednesday when I'm teaching on sex in the Bible. Yes, people out there, there's some folks that are coming out strong, and we will. The toleration time is over.
Yeah.
It's over. Just cease.
Yes,
and we're doing it in love. We love you. We love God's people. But the lies and the deception that's going on and the use and the abuse by the leaders, some of the leaders in this country, no, no, no. Some of these big-time preachers, no, it's got to stop. And yes. I'm Pimp Preacher's another one that's coming after him. We're coming after you. God said, time out. So, sister, just be encouraged. And I like how you're doing this step by step. And if you want to go even slower, take your time. Lay it out, because a half hour, you don't have time. You could, this, I like, you've got principles here. This is a book you're doing. You've got some principles here that, because I don't even have that in either of my books. I don't even deal with that. I'm trying to think where I've seen what you're doing. I like this. Yeah. You need to lay this out, and let's put this into a book, a pamphlet or a book to help people. So that because, you know, if your family's going to turn their back on you, and your friends in the church, they act like they don't know what's going on, and if and all, no, you need a book. Here's a step-by-step way. At least
thank
some
you.
Ideas of help. Please be encouraged and keep doing this. Do not cease. Do not stop.
Yes, sir. I hear you loud and clear, and the other caller as well. It is much, much needed, because now is the time when all the curtains are being pulled. Those things that are hidden are now being exposed. And I just believe that, you know, as we enter into this time, you know, and I know I've shifted gears here and who I am, you know, I'm kind of, you know, giving you who I am, that, you know, God is not pleased. And now that, you know, those things that are hidden will now be exposed, you know, part of that is the body of Christ speaking up against those things that were hush-hush back in the day. Oh, no, don't talk about that. Everything that stays, that goes on in the house, you know, stays in the house, you know. And now is the time to spare, you know, to cry loud and spare not.
Amen.
You know, if it goes against the word of God and then we need to talk about that. We need to talk about that so that the generations that are coming up behind us don't have to deal with that. And we're breaking generational curses, you know, that have been going on for such a long time. Because how can you raise, you know, healthy, you know, men and women of God if you got all of this, you know, sin going on behind doors, because that's exactly what it is, you know. And then you're raising, then you're walking around with a bunch of defective brothers and sisters in the Lord, you know, and they can't, you know, draw others because they're wounded, you know, and God wouldn't have us to be wounded, you know.
Nope,
and sick in our body and our thought process and our psychological is just a little bit off, you know. Then you got crazy, you know, people in the body of Christ, you know, and that's not how God intended it to be. You know, he made us whole.
Yes, he did.
And that's how he sees us,
sister. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You've got a scripture as an evangelist. I know you got to go. Well, you don't have to go. You know that when you say half hour, you actually have an hour. So those of us that are hanging with you, hanging. But if you have to go, then that's different.
I've got 5 minutes to do one more second to go.
All right. Well, see, it'll cut off, but it'll still be recording. Matter of fact, call me and I'll share with you more of that detail. God bless you, sister.
Yes.
God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thank you for calling.
All righty. Bye-bye.
I thank both those callers for calling. Oh, it was just so awesome to hear the testimony. And it kind of goes in line with what we've been talking about, you know, as God has given me to give you step by step by step on how to recover. And the last, where I stopped at, one of the last things I wanted to talk about, I've got 5 more minutes, is we've got to start to rebuild our self-esteem. And this is very important in recovery, because the anger will eventually go away and it will eventually dissipate. And the depression will begin to decrease, and you'll find yourself gaining strength over time. Eventually, others will begin to notice as well, as you begin to believe in yourself on the inside, because it starts on the inside, and what's on the inside will come out. So the inside will manifest on the outside. So we must start somewhere, and my job and my passion and my goal here is to give you life practical steps on how to overcome the obstacles of sexual abuse because I lived it, because I was too, you know, molested. And, you know, the first caller was exactly right. It's exactly what happened to me. She was right on point. When, you know, you're in a situation and it was in the home and they're turning their head and you don't have a way of escape and all you can see is nothing. You know, you look out and you try to look to your future. You try to look to a light. There is no light. You don't see a light, you know. And so one of the things to kind of help all that built up anger, because what we're really talking about today is I just kind of wanted to talk about the anger of it all, is to take that anger and just, you know, work with what you have. And we're going to write the vision. We're going to make it plain. We're going to write that anger down, and we're going to make it work for our good in some way. So I'm pulling out these tools, you know, and that's one of the ways that we can do that. Again, these are just a few tools to start taking control of our life and our thoughts. We're going to take back the power, and we're going to keep the power. I know this is hard, and we must talk about it. And when we talk about it, this is helping us reach our freedom and our walk in our victory. We can overcome these obstacles. We must use these weapons to fight this battle so we can help the next person. We have these challenges in our lives, but we do not have to be subject to the hurt and the pain and the anger. Don't allow anyone to keep you bound, locked up, feeling guilty or ashamed. It is truly possible to walk in freedom and deliverance, and most of all, walk in forgiveness. If you don't remember anything else, when you become free, you have to forgive. You can be delivered from the scars of sexual abuse and the anger. Against all odds, you can walk in victory today. You too can overcome all the odds against you and every obstacle that comes to try to block you and keep you bound. Don't be bound any longer. I am here to help you walk in total victory. So stay tuned. We'll be back next week continuing this topic as we begin to understand the physical and the emotional challenges you are facing for yourself and you and your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors, your classmates, your co-worker, your sister, your brother in Christ. Together we can learn strategic, powerful weapons to combat the unseemly, unsurmountable obstacles that life can bring and begin the process of healing and forgiving. My email again is odds_against_u@yahoo.com, or you can Facebook me at facebook.com/victory, VICTORY, capital A, capital O, inbox me. Thank you for listening. Join me again next week, next Monday at 12:30, right here, listening to me at Victory Against All Odds, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Come again. Have a great day, and thank you as you walk in victory.